This is an oral history review in the Civilian Conservation Corps project sponsored by the Arkansas Endowment for the Humanities. The date is July 24, 1982. The place is Burns Park, North Little Rock, Arkansas. And the interviewer is Shirley Jo Pye, and I'm a teacher at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. Now, I need you to tell me what your name is.
I'm James Canterbury from Tyler, Texas. I served in Camp 3767 in Hollis, Arkansas.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your background, your family, where you were born, number of people in your family, and your parents.
I was born in Hoodig, Arkansas, and we moved up to England, Arkansas when I was 9 months old.
What is Hoodig?
Down in there. The woods are full of canterbury.
Oh, a lot of canterburies down in southern Arkansas. North of Bastrop, Louisiana, right?
Yeah, down in there.
Okay.
We moved up between England and Lone Oak when I was 9 months old. And it was me and my brother just older than me and my mother and daddy. And I had another older brother and three sisters. But I'm the baby of the family, and they were all quite a bit older than me, except my younger brother, or the brother just older than me. And we lived on a farm out there. And I'm sorry to say, my dad left a broken home, you know. And my mother was a widow woman then. We chopped cotton, her and my brother and I, for years.
So you didn't give me your birth date.
I was born December 1st, 1922.
Okay.
And so we was raised out there on that farm, and my mother and my brother and I. When I was 11 years old in 1934, August 1st, at 12:25, my mother died. Mm-hmm. And can you turn that off?
Yeah, Probably. So it was a pretty rough time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so
Were you the only member of your family that joined the CCC?
No, the brother just 2 years older than me. He went into Sheridan, Arkansas and served a while, and he came out and he went back to Iowa and served again, and I guess this was...
You're talking about Iowa the state?
Yeah, Iowa State of Iowa. And, so I grew up, and after my mother died in 1934, my older brother, the only brother I had, well, me and my brother was 2 years old. He was 13 and I was 11. We had to make a decision what to do. I had two sisters, I had three sisters that were married. One that was in Louisiana that was married when I left, and which I didn't, I'd seen her a few times, but wasn't as familiar, you know, wasn't as close as the other two. So my brother, who still lives in Lone Oak, Arkansas, he'd be 80 years old next month. Our next year, and he raised me.
You're visiting him too, aren't you?
I owe a big debt to him and his wife. And, so he raised me and my brother. And we raised on a farm down there, and we farmed for. And times was hard and was really poor. So when I was up about, I got up to about 18, and my brother had been into the CCC camp, so I wanted to go. So I went in. I didn't get the education that I should have or could have, possibly. My brother did all he could and under the condition.
So you finished school about what grade level or what age did you drop out?
Eighth grade. Then I went in the CCC camp, and we had a gentleman there, Mr. Coleman, that was in Hollis, and I took some typing and done some studying under him. And I'd never been away, and I got acquainted with boys from different parts of the country or state. And I guess this is where I grew up. I grew up here. And so I stayed in the CCC camp up there for about a year and a half.
Let me tell you, what kind of work did they do at Hollis? I'm not familiar
with the
CCC. We
were at a Forest Service camp.
Okay.
And we built roads, and we fight forest fire. I was in 4 or 5 months, and I went through training for be a truck driver. And I finished up as a truck driver for about the last year. I drove a truck there, hauling people out to build roads and to fight forest fires, protect the forest, and all around Hollis in there.
Well, now, there was educational programs with
them. There were educational programs.
Were they optional? Or?
They were optional. You didn't have to take them. And I would remember, did I quote some?
Sure.
One boy, and Barn, his name, and was from England.
Spell that last name.
I don't remember his name.
Okay, sorry.
And he couldn't read or write. And we got acquainted, and I'd write letters home for him. And if you don't think this is an experience, it is, to write letters to your mother and your girlfriend for someone else. It was a real experience for me. And these incidents is, I suppose, what helped me grow up. And so I drove a truck for the last year, and then the war came on, and I was AWL. The day the war came on, I'd gone up the mountain to see my girl.
I can see you went off the flight.
Another boy and I, and I'd like to meet him down here if I can find his name. A.D. Johnson, I'll never forget him. And but the camp had closed, and I helped haul it off. We hauled it off, and hauled it, a lot of it to Little Rock, and they transferred it to Lake Catherine. And the Park Service down there building those ponds, and I stayed in a couple of months. And the war had come on then, and I wanted to go into the service, so I asked. My daddy had come back home then after he got old, and was staying with my brother also. And but in
the meantime, you get a few dates in here in a minute too about what date you entered. Entered about the time you were 18 and
being. Yeah, I entered, I believe it was in March of 1940, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
you were born in 20, right?
22. Yeah,
that'd be right.
Let's see, I came out in February of 1942, and I was in 18 months. Okay. Now, how does that figure back?
Well, 18 from February would be 41, less 8 would be about.
Summer of 40.
Yeah, and that would be your summer of 40.
And I came out in February. And
okay, and then you were about 4 months of that at Hot Springs, Lake Catherine, right?
We closed, it seemed like Hollis closed up that fall. And we hauled it there because I didn't stay down there very long. That's where we was when the war broke out at Lake Catherine.
Okay, well, that was December 41.
Yeah, and I hadn't been there very long. So it was the fall of 41 that Hollis Camp closed. And we hauled it off. I helped haul the last
one. Was it all barracks?
It was barracks out on the back, and we hauled the furniture, not the building. We hauled the furniture and stuff and brought it into Little Rock. And
what kind of sort of sleeping and eating arrangements did you have?
Well, we would. We worked for the Forest Service, but when we'd come back into the camp, the Army more or less would be in charge of the food. You know, the camp and Captain Hall was the captain there. Then I believe he went into the service, and Subaltern Hankins takes over as a fine man, both of them.
Walter Hankins? What did you say the name?
Subaltern, that was a title, Subaltern Hankins. I don't remember his name. Was the captain when when it closed. And I think he was a lieutenant in the regular Army. And Captain Hall was there when I went there, though. I've been there several years.
But the leaders were regular service.
I believe they were regular Army people. And we worked for the Forest Service. Then when they'd call a roll every morning, we'd go to work. Then the Forest Service would take us over, and we'd go out and build roads and drainage and set out trees and fix, keep the roads from washing, and where you could get into for the truck to fight the forest fire.
Why don't you describe a day, like what you did when you got up in the morning and through the day in terms of the activities?
Well, we'd get up at regular time, and we'd go to chow, and we'd line up and go to chow, and then we'd Then after breakfast, then we would line up, and then we'd be signed to the Forest Service during the day, and each crew had foremen that had certain areas. And I worked with a foreman, Bodine Martin was a foreman, that I drove the truck for him and his crew there. And we'd go out, then I'd come in, I'd set up a telephone on the side of the road hanging over a blind. And I'd sit there during the day while they were working, listening for the firemen somewhere to call in case we had a fire. So along about 10 o'clock, then I'd get in the truck and go back to camp and load up the chow or the dinner in cans. And we'd go by, I'd carry it back, then we'd set it up on the side of the road where we was working and serve the men. And then I'd go back to my position of answering the phone in case of fire. Then we'd have to be back, I believe, about 4 o'clock. We'd have to be back at camp. And then I'd load up and go back to camp. Then we'd go in, we'd clean up, then we'd stand and retreat. And then the flag would go down every evening. And we'd eat supper, then we'd be pretty well on our own. And,
how was the food?
It was fine. It was fine. We all gained weight. All of us gained weight. And it was fine. It was similar to Army Chow, but we had some excellent cooks at Hollis, and they were real good.
How about recreation and sports? I've heard there's softball and...
Yeah, they were sports there. We didn't play too much ball, or I didn't, and I don't remember a ball field at Hollis. I don't believe there was a ball field there, but we had a recreation hall. We'd shoot pool, play cards, and things like that. We was in the mountains, and we didn't do a lot of hiking and jogging them days. So we'd get out and dig ditches and work with picks and shovels during the day a lot of times, and we didn't need the exercise that we do now.
They didn't do a morning calisthenics or exercise?
Oh yeah, we did calisthenics. We'd get out and we'd line up just like the Army and do exercise and calisthenics and push-ups and stuff like that.
Was there a lot of people dropping out for a day to go visit the girls in the woods?
Not really, no. And this is one good thing that was about the CC camp. The discipline was real good. And everybody looked upon each other as, you know, to do their part. And we had very few problems of discipline in the whole camp.
Well, now, how about the money? Any money going back to your family, and how much did you
get? We were paid $30 a month. I drew $8 a month, and so when I went in, they would send 22 home. A lot of the boys would send 22 homes for their mother and daddy to live on. But me, I talked to my brother and decided they would keep it for me. So they kept my $22 a month the whole time I was in there. And I drew $8 a month, and that's all I ever got, was $8 a month for around a year and a half I was in there. Then when I came out, then they sent me a check for all that I had in. I think it was $200, $300 and I thought I was rich.
Well, you know, even $8 a week sounds very little.
$8 a month. I mean, $8 a month is what I drew. That's what I bought the cigarettes and coats. They furnished our clothes. We didn't have to buy any clothes, shoes, anything.
A big variety of clothes, or just basic?
Just khakis in the summer and a kind of a wool type suit in the winter. And their GI, regular GI shoes, what we call GI shoes.
Okay, in terms of training, we talked a little bit about educational training and some of the kinds of things you did in terms of the forestry work. Did you receive additional training of any kind?
No, more or less on the job training. I did go to this class to drive a truck. We'd have to go through and do certain things. And,
you must have felt lonesome being away from home. This is sort of your first time to...
This was the first time I'd ever been away from home. And during the working hours and days, it wasn't so lonesome on the weekends there when a lot of the boys would go home, and it'd be kind of lonesome.
Did you get home at all?
Oh yeah, about every 4 or 5 months I would go back down to England and catch a bus
to get home. In terms of recreational activities, was there any town around or anything, or just
not there? I never did go to Hot Springs or Jesseville, a little town up the road 8 or 10 miles called Jesseville, but I never did go up there.
But some of the other?
A lot of the boys.
Yeah, I was thinking just in terms of recreation.
Some of the boys would go to the towns, you know, looking for girls, but boys' recreation, our work was our recreation, really.
Yeah, sounds like
we didn't have the money to go anywhere and do anything, so.
One of the questions was whether there are any letters left that you might have written at that time, either that your family has or that you have.
It may be, I have a footlocker that possibly there's a letter in there too from my brother. I know I'd write home some, they were, as far as I know, there's no left. I have some pictures of several of the boys and a big comfort picture of the camp.
I don't know. It may be that they wanted the information in case the project that they're developing, if there were some original letters from that period.
I can go through this footlocker I have and see if anything is...
You might mention it to Mr. Radcliffe to see if they want it for any
kind of... But I do have this big picture and several small pictures.
Even someplace in Arkansas might want some of those things, too. Well, how did your family feel about you being in the CCC?
Well, they... I really don't know. My brother and my brother's wife and them, they were raising their family then. They had... children of their own, and I really don't know.
Okay, then when you left the CCC in spring of 42, let's kind of pick up there what you did after that. You do that, I'll double check.
All right, and as I said, my daddy had come back, was living with my brother, and I got daddy to sign a thing that I was needed at home, and so I came out because my 6 months wasn't up. You sign up for 6 months at a time, see.
Okay.
And so I went home, and my brother had come back in from Iowa at camp, and we worked there that summer. And the war was going on, and he had got drafted. I mean, they called him for an exam, but he failed his physical, and he didn't say why or anything. We didn't know why. And so in June or July, we was working with the county down there cleaning out some ditches. And no work to do, no cotton chop or nothing. And before cotton picking time came on, we were helping clean out a ditch. And we went to England on one Saturday night, and he had a hemorrhage. That was in July, and in September he died with TB, 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
He told us after he got sick that when he was in camp for sure that he had had one, he went out in the woods and didn't tell anybody about it.
Well, now that's interesting. There's no questions on health here. You know, did they make any health checks to prevent somebody coming into camp with TB? I mean, this is...
They gave me a lot of shots, malaria shots. And every time I seemed like I'd turn around, I was taking shots. But now whether they x-rayed us, I don't remember what they did. Evidently, they didn't x-ray my brother, or they probably caught it, because we carried him to Boonville, and his lungs was completely gone practically at that time. And 2 years before, he had this hemorrhage, he told us, up at Sheridan camp, so evidently they didn't x-ray their chest that way.
Well, and I'm wondering about diseases being spread by you all coming together, too. There are no health questions on here, but now that you bring that up, it would be an interesting, how they prevented the disease, communicable diseases.
But I know we had a hospital at Hollis, and if we got sick, we'd go there, and they'd shoot me with these three shots, for chills. And we'd have chills. I didn't have, when I was growing up, I'd have chills. Mm-hmm. And every other day chills and all this. But they did give us shots and different types of shots.
Did you have a physical exam as you entered the Corps?
Yeah. We had to, I don't remember just exactly what all it consists of. It probably wasn't as strict as the Army when I was in the Army.
I wonder if anybody was rejected for physical health reasons in the CCC.
I don't know.
Don't know either.
I don't know that.
Right.
But he was rejected in his first physical for the Army.
Well, so you had a rough year after
rough
you got
year.
Out.
Then it was rough. And then
it's left you the only son.
Left me there and I was a lonesome young man, I'll tell you. And finally I decided I was just going to Army, and then I volunteered for the Air Force in November 1st, 1942. And
okay, what I guess I need in terms of the Air Force is, first of all, some of the things you did in training in CCC was useful in the Air Force. And then I will need to know a little bit about your highest rank and your battalion.
I know when I went in the Army, in the Air Force, I volunteered for the Air Force, and we were. But before this, before I went in the CCC camp, I was up at Dyess Colony. I had two sisters lived up there, and I went up there and visited.
Did they live in Dyess?
Dyess Colony.
Did they?
Indeed.
Yeah. That's interesting too, isn't it? Yeah.
We and this was a government project.
Right. Yeah.
People, they went up there. They had their families and nothing to do, and they went up there and was so-called buying these homes. And I stayed up there during the summer some, and I went in Camp Robinson out here. A friend of mine across the street or across the road with what they called a CMTC camp. And I went in that and served a month, and that was military training.
Okay, what does CMTC stand for?
Citizens Military Training Camp.
Okay, and it was across from the Dyess Colony?
No, that's where I was at, but
okay.
It was at Camp Robinson.
Oh, it was at Camp
Robinson. And I have some pictures of when out here at Camp Robinson. I came with this boy, and I had taken this training, military training out there.
Is that the last man I talked to also?
So when I went into the Army, my experiences in the CC camp is with the boys and the discipline and recognizing authority and stuff helped me when I went in the Army. I knew enough that when they hollered attention, I knew how to stand and how to act. And
how long were you at the CMTC camp at
it was
Robinson?
A month. It's Camp Robinson. It was for a month.
Okay.
You go a month a year, I think. Well, I think that was probably the last year. I don't know how I went into the CCC camp after that.
Okay, you do think it did prepare you for the day-to-day living in the service. Did
right.
The education or any training prove useful in service work?
The training of, as I say, of discipline and recognizing authority and being around other boys and living with boys and all of this prepared me for the Army. So I volunteered for the Army and I went to Shepherdsville, Texas.
But you flew with the Army.
Well, not very much. I was a ground force and I went to Shepherdsville, taking my basic training at Shepherdsville, Texas, and then they transferred me to West Palm Beach, Florida, and then in February of 1942, I went to Camp Kilmer, New Jersey, and they processed us through. And we got on a boat, the old James Parker, and the battleship Arkansas was right ahead of us, led us across, and we landed in Casablanca. And we stopped in Casablanca, and the convoy went on around, I think, and made an invasion in Oran or somewhere up there. And we went south, the Air Force people, down to a place called Takoradi. And that's where we unloaded from the ship. And I went to Lagos, Nigeria for 2 or 3 months. They flew me down there, the first airplane that had ever been on in my life. And I was scared to death. And stayed down there. We assembled some P-40s for General Chenault, flying tigers up in China.
Oh, really? In Nigeria, you assembled them?
Then we went back to Accra, which was the main base, and we were on the supply line.
Is that
line.
North Africa?
That's in the African Gold Coast. It's okay. British territory on the Gold Coast. It's called Ghana now. You read about it so much in the papers now. In Accra, there's a big air base there. We were on the supply line into China, mostly, called the African Middle East Wing. And I stayed there from, I got off the boat March 13, 1942, and that was the day my daddy died, March 13. And Red Cross got a message to me sometime in April. And I stayed there till July 3rd, 1945. And I flew back to Miami Beach, Florida, and came back. They signed me to Little Rock, Adams Field here, and a delay en route first. And I went to Lone Oak, and that's when I got married. And
so
got out in November 1st, 1945 in Barstow Field in the Supreme Court.
Okay, so what specific branch? This is the
Air Force.
Force of the Army.
Right? Yeah, Air Force U.S. Air Force.
And what was your highest rank?
Corporal.
Corporal. Okay. That's interesting. I've never heard anybody discuss this, how we got supplies to China.
Yeah, we, see, they would in, this is on that tape that I made. You see these things, it brings back these memories, like when the British was fighting down the Falkland Islands. They were operating off the Ascension Islands. Well, I landed on the Ascension Islands. And,
that would be, it sure would be a map,
yeah. And on the, my way back from Accra, we'd land at Ascension Islands to fill up with fuel before we get to Miami. Well, I had a plane load of boys that left a couple of weeks before I did and served for 2.5 years with me, cracked up on Ascension Islands, and they were all killed but two. And one of them lived at Moro, Arkansas, and I was in the CC camp with him.
Oh, really?
Hollis.
And what's his name? They were trying to get some names.
His name was Oxner.
Oxner?
Oxner. Mm-hmm. William Oxner, I believe. I don't remember his first name.
Name sounds familiar.
He was from Moro, and I met him on this boat. I got up in New York, Camp Kilmer, New Jersey, when we caught this train to New York, and we were loaded down with a gun and barracks bag, and we got on this boat just a little before sundown, and I was completely exhausted. I went down about the third deck, and I laid back, and I went off to sleep, and I woke up. I said, I'm going up and look at New York, and I hadn't seen New York since. All I could see was water and boats. And I was up there walking around and run up on Oxner on the boat that I'd been in the CC camp.
And you recognize?
I recognize. Oh, boy, I saw an army that I recognized, and he was the one that was in the plane crash, but when I landed in Miami Beach, well, I met Oxner again. He had burned his face or broke his ankle or something, but he did get out of the plane crash. We spent 35 days on that boat, and it was 2 meals a day. We lived like pigs, sick, and boys sick, and it was terrible.
That's a long three. Oh, wow. And I'm sure it was overloaded and crowded.
Oh, yeah. And, all Air Force and...
Well, okay, now after you left the military, then where did you settle? And okay, by the way, in a few minutes I'll ask a little bit about your wife and family. And,
after I came out of service, I had married while I was in service, and my wife was teaching at school. I'd bought her an engagement ring. She was 16 when I went into service. So when I came back, I'd been gone 3 years, and she was still there, so I decided I might as well marry.
You've been planning all that time.
So we got married, and I came out in 1945, and I rice farmed a year at Lone
Oak. She was from Lone Oak, right?
She was from Queen Lone Oak in England.
Okay.
She was one of the original Pearson families around England. And so I rice farmed for a year, and saw that this wasn't for me, and I came to Little Rock and worked from one place to another for a couple of years. Then I went back down to England and raised
think about the GI Bill? Did you use it at all?
I did when I came out, went back to England and began to farm. Then I found out about it, which these things were not explained when we got out very clearly. Mm-hmm. And I found out through other men that were going. And I went to the on-the-job training school farming in England for a couple of years. And I drew $97 a month and learned about some about farming. And then I decided that, then I had two children that I lived, and this was not for me. And there was a man that went to church with us, was a foreman on the railroad. And he told me and another boy that he was could hire us for a couple of months that winter. He'd have to land all 1st of January. So I went to work for the railroad for a couple of months, and then in January come, he told us I had to lay off, but we might get on if we go to 5 months. So I went down there and I got transferred into the signal department. And I've been in that ever since. I'm a signal manager for the Cotton Belt Railroad in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over.